to the Human Values Podcast. I am your host for today, and my name is Andrea. I'm so happy to be here with you, and thank you for listening to our very first episode. Woo! Woo, woo, woo. Yay! Thank you. You'll get to meet my friends here, and later on we'll talk about human values, we'll talk about why we're here, we talk about a little bit of our lives. We won't give you all the secrets, but we definitely will share with you our interests. So I'm really excited to share this moment with you. It's definitely a first for all of us. So thank you for joining us in this journey. And we're gonna say hi to our co-hosts. First off, we have Sola. Hi, Sola.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Then we have Victoria.
Hey there, how's it going?
That's Victoria's usual voice. You will recognize her. And then we have Melody over here.
Hello, hello.
Hello. And last but not least, Javier.
Hi.
And you can always say hi to us like that. Hi.
Hi.
All right, before we get started, we have our section of bits and bops.
Bits and bops.
Exactly. This part is where you sing bits and bops, but also you can learn about any details from our podcast, any new things that we have for you. This is the time where we tell you. So for this first episode, we want to let you know that you can follow us on social media. You can find us as Human Values Club on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And this podcast will be on YouTube. Also, if you want to send us any fan mail, if you want to let us know what you thought about this first episode or any other message, you can email us to humanvaluesclub@gmail.com. So humanvaluesclub@gmail.com. All right. So let's see what are these people here? What do they have to say? Why don't we introduce ourselves and just say how you're feeling, any funny thing you had for today. So let's start off with Queen M, Queen Melody over here. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired because it's been a long week. School is keeping me busy. I think I'm grateful for the weather because it's kind of been dreary and rainy, but at night it's easier to sleep because the dorm rooms are very hot. And so at night it's just, in the past it's been hard to fall asleep. And I've always loved when it rains at night because that's been a thing that reminds me of being at home. So when it rains, and my week has been good. Life is good. I don't think I can complain about anything. So I'm happy to be here with all of you wonderful humans. I'm really excited about this work. And yeah.
We're really happy to have you. And this is the cool thing of doing this with your friends. You get to see them and talk and share all this good stuff with you. So how are you doing, Victoria?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. It has also been a kind of a busy and stressful week over here. But today has been, I think, just like gearing up for right now and gearing up for this magical time that we're going to spend together. I've been kind of in one of those like daydreamy moods. You know how you have one of those days where you're like, your mind's kind of wandering, but it's like, not in a stressful way. It's almost kind of like meditative as you're like going through your day, kind of like thinking about things. And I was really daydreaming a lot about Joni Mitchell's Blue album. So I love that album and I was thinking about it a lot today. So if you need something new to listen to, definitely recommend that one. But yeah, that's where my mind has been today with Joni Mitchell. Mm-hmm.
We're with you, Joni.
We're with you, Joni.
She's here with us.
Exactly. You like Joni Mitchell, Hayir?
Yeah, and that is my favorite Joni Mitchell album. And a special shout out to the song All I Want.
Oh, that's my favorite song.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God.
Twinsies.
How did we not figure this out until now?
Yeah, seriously, so good. And I was reading about her that she had, there was something wrong with her hand, her left hand, so that she had to develop a special style of playing the guitar and singing because of the tuning she had to use. So, you know, I'm already speaking to the music nerds out there, but look into Joni Mitchell because her story is really, really cool. And she's an amazing musician and songwriter.
Super strong.
Nice.
How are you doing today, Hayir?
I'm doing pretty good. So we just finished our first week of remote learning in the new year. So I'm a high school teacher, high school music teacher, and it's been an interesting experience adapting to remote learning. And, you know, getting my students to say anything has been a great challenge. But I have discovered lo-fi Zelda and lo-fi Pokemon songs with my students, which has been fun. And I had just the best time tuning a violin through Google Meets today. So that was awesome. But other than that, like some of you said, just really happy to be recording this podcast with you all. I listen to a ton of podcasts, so it's really great that we're doing our own. And yeah, I just can't wait to build this community and see what people have to say and to for people to join the conversation with us. So super exciting.
Definitely. And we'll have people. They'll be coming. Sola, how's your day?
Good. The dreary grayness is getting to me a little bit, but I took my puppy. I just got a new puppy, a quarantine dog, like so many others. And I took her to the park and she's ridiculous and hilarious. And then I get to do this. So I'm just really grateful and happy about that.
You might hear some of our puppies or cats or our cars. We have cars. Awesome. So that's all of us. Maybe we can see a little bit of more of ourselves. I can start. If you didn't hear, my name is Andrea, and I was born in Costa Rica. I've been playing the violin since I was 12 years old. I studied violin in Costa Rica, then got a scholarship to study here in the United States, in Chicago. And since then, I've just been playing, teaching, and now I work for an after-school orchestra program and doing all the things with the Human Values Club. So we have other teachers here. Are we all teachers? Wow, we're all teachers. Victoria, you want to tell us about your teaching life?
Yeah, totally. So I am also a violinist by trade, I guess, but wanting to be a trombonist as well. So, but I mostly teach strings. Teaching middle school strings is my favorite. So I also teach with an after school program, fourth through eighth grade strings. I teach general music as well with a couple different programs. And yeah, I went to school for music education. So I sometimes think of myself as like an educator before a musician, but then once you start getting into the label things, then you're like, but you want to be a little bit of everything. So yeah, anytime anyone wants to talk about teaching things, that's what I love to talk about, what I love to do.
Teach. Yeah, it's awesome. Teaching music. And Melody, to your, what are you doing with music?
So my name is Melody. I'm from St. Lucia, if nobody knows where that is. It's a place that exists. I swear I didn't make it up. It's a little island closer to South America. It's really a great place to be right now, away from the troubles of the world in regards to COVID. So if you're thinking of taking a vacation, St. Lucia is the place. Yeah, I'm here in Chicago to study music. I would say that I don't know exactly what I want to do in terms of a career path, but I just really love music. I love playing music with people. I love diving into why things work harmonically, and I love finding new music and listening to old music. And I'm also just really passionate about the idea of community and connection. And I think that's something that I didn't really have growing up, and it's something that I've found slowly in my adult life. And I've found people who care about me outside of my family, And that's huge. And I think we all need community, whether that's like five really great friends or 12 people or an organization. And I think that's something that I just want to dive deeper into, how we can be more intentional about that in our lives, and kind of trying to figure out how to tie that into my love for music. Like, how can we tie community into not just music, but the arts, whether that's dance or sculpting. Yeah, that's me. Oh, and I also love playing volleyball.
Really?
I really want to learn like native dances from Africa. Like, that's something I'm interested in. I did a class once and I kind of want to go deeper into that. So, yeah, that's me.
That's M, Queen M for you. Who wants to go next? I know Javier and Sola are fighting for the mic. I guess it's Sola's.
Hello. There was an alarm actually going on in my phone. In my phone. Wow. Alarm was going off on my phone in my house. So I was waiting. But hello. Yeah. So I am not a teacher straight ahead, but I am somebody who really understands the value of arts education and inclusivity. You know, when I was going to music school, I was the only woman in my class. And I graduated from the Oberlin Conservatory, and I was the first Black woman to do that with a degree in music composition, which in the year 2009 is insane that I was the first. And so with all those trials and tribulations, I was like, you know what, like equity and inclusion in the arts, like Amen. This is just my passion. So I, you know, found my way to different arts nonprofits who are working with bringing kids from all different backgrounds into the fold. So that's where I kind of fit in with all of this. So I love teachers. I'm not like the best teacher, but I really love advocating and creating that space. So
yeah. Mm. Wow, awesome. Javier, go ahead.
All right. gotta follow Solo you. On that one. No, thank you. Solo for paving the way. Jumping on that, I would say when I first got into music was when I discovered Jimi Hendrix, and then a little later Carlos Santana, and I was like, I don't know what that is, but I want that. And so very shortly started playing guitar and got into all that 70s rock and roll music. And I think very early on got into this like very rebellious spirit of like fight the power, and like you know, it's like we need to fight for the liberation of people. And that's definitely something that stayed with me. And I was like, Mom, I want to be a rock star. And Mom was just like, why don't you get your teaching degree? And then you can, you know, while you're waiting for your career to take off. So like, thanks, Mom, you saved me.
Be a rock star teacher.
There you go. Now I'm a rock star teacher. Yeah, so I played a lot of guitar growing up, and then got into playing cello and orchestra in Chicago public schools. And then, kept going into college, and kind of when I came in contact with, and we'll probably spend some more time in this or another podcast talking about El Sistema, but that was kind of when I continued and saw the connection of music in terms of, or just the arts in general, arts serving humanity, and how the arts can be a vehicle for the liberation of all people. So, you know, continuing with that is a main goal of the Human Values Club. And I'm just like so happy that we can have this conversation and share it, because I feel like we've had so many great conversations, but I just want to share all the goodness and wisdom that this group has with the people out there. So yeah, super excited to get started.
Share the love. And Javier, you touched on you probably heard it at the beginning of our podcast, but just to reiterate that we are a group spreading humanity through education, conversation, and self-reflection. And you said the key word of in the pursuit of liberation of all people. And that's really important for us. We all do it in different ways. And that's the beautiful thing of it, that we need perspectives and the voices of many different people to get there. And so the different ways that we do it contributes to like the liberation be true and be like sincere and authentic. So yeah, thank you for all your voices here, but also everyone listening and everyone who might be in this podcast at some point. We need you, and your voice is important. So just a reminder for that, and for all of us, I know sometimes in the day-to-day we might get caught up with our stuff, and it's easy to lose that from, you know, from our minds. So awesome. So now that you know a little bit more of us, we'll keep talking about ourselves. Don't worry, we like doing that. We wanna, you know, this is called the Human Values Podcast. We wanna tell you a little bit about what is human values, although I'm pretty sure you kind of get an idea, and what that means for us. So we'll just go up to Melody, who has some questions for us. Drum roll. She will share some questions with us, and we'll just say whatever comes up. So take us on.
All right, everyone. I'm super excited to dive into this conversation because I think it's an important conversation to have. And if we look at the idea of human values, we're all human beings. And so we all should have this conversation and be seen and heard. And going back to that, we all have a voice and that voice matters. And so my first question for everyone here and our listeners, if you're listening, definitely think about this as you learn about human values. What inspires you to do human values work? Maybe I can point that direction, point that question to Javier, because you talked a little bit about the liberation of all people. And so tell us a little bit more about what inspires you to dive into this work.
Yes. Wow. Big question. Growing up, having this big connection to specifically rock and roll music and learning, you know, how people have struggled. If you hear these messages in music, in rock music, in hip hop music, and we hear this, I think it was Nina Simone said, the job of the artist is to reflect their times and their environments. And so I think that probably part of our connection to music has helped us to know the truth of people's experiences and just to see the systematic injustices that are very real in our world. And I think that it is very, very difficult to like even know where to begin. Like, how do I even begin to address these issues? And I think it begins with addressing the issues within yourself and then extending that same learning to your community. So it was honestly it's been a really difficult time this summer, you know, with the murder of George Floyd and all of the protests that have continued, Black Lives Matter protests that have been going on, but continued in a real way in the midst of the pandemic. And it was just a really hard time. And I felt myself just growing very angry this summer. And I eventually, thankfully through teachers, both the teacher within myself and teachers outside of myself. It's just funny because I have a speech that I wrote, and you can find a video of this on Human Values Club at youtube.com. That's not the URL, just search Human Values Club. But nice. it was all about coming back to our humanity, because when I was getting angry, I was kind of like slipping into that place of hate, hate is fear and despair and all of these negative emotions that we are just assaulted with. What I tried to step back and go towards is humanity, reclaiming my humanity and not giving into the hate, but seeing the humanity in myself, seeing the humanity in others, which is really hard to do, especially if you're looking at oppressors, but remembering that the oppressors also need to be saved from their hate and liberated from their hate, which, you know, we've had conversations about that, and that's really, really hard. But I think that is the best thing. And what I kind of say, am I inspired to continue this? Because the systems of oppression are so ever present. The solution to that oppression must also be ever present. So it's like a human values is a little radio signal that we're putting out into the world. And we just want to keep putting that signal and gather people together in the spirit of humanity and just see where that takes us.
Yeah, that's really amazing. You talked a little bit about the oppressors also have to be freed from their hate. And I thought of in one of my classes, it's an intercultural communications class, and we watched this very jarring documentary about white supremacy and all these. It was about this young lady from, she's a Muslim, and she was trying to see the side of her enemies. So she was intentionally seeking out these people who were leading like Nazi groups and all kinds of scary stuff that I'm not familiar with. And she was having conversations with them and spending time with them and being very patient with them and asking them really hard questions, but kind of seeing them for the human beings that they were, like spending time with them like they're her friends. And in the end, the stories that they told, a lot of them just like their dad was abusive or they didn't feel like they belonged. And I just thought of the idea that we're all angry or hurt or traumatized or going through some kind of pain that's causing us to lash out in whatever way. But in the end, because she became friends with these people, they started to question their motives. And she would ask questions like, well, you know, your actions will lead to so and so, and this will affect me. How do you feel about that? And then they would say, well, I don't want you to get hurt because you're my friend. And it just goes to show that, well, there are other people out there who are just like me and you're hurting, but you don't know them. So yeah, I really, you said that and I thought about that. That's really powerful. Victoria, tell us a little bit about what inspires you to do human values work.
So in addition to all these lovely humans on this call, on this recording, on this podcast, and the people in our group of friends, I was actually reminded about what inspires me when Javier was talking about humanity. And I know we talk about this a lot in the Human Values Club, like everyone, you know, when you have something to work on, or if you're trying to improve something about yourself or improve your heart, improve your soul, improve your mind, you know, we talk about in Human Values that you're trying to almost like be who you were almost, or not almost, be who you were always meant to be. So I think we're, you know, we're all human beings and we're all kind of meant to be like, you know, open and loving and passionate and like caring for one another. But people, either from, you know, the way they were brought up or their situation or their experiences, a lot of that gets covered up and pushed down, or you know, blown across the sea, or you know, what, however you want to put it. And I think that just like that, like simple statement of like being who you were always meant to be inspires me to do that and to also help other people do that. And it's really, it's hard sometimes because it's really easy to lose patience. It's really easy to feel some anger wash over you that you've had built up, or, you know, your immediate reaction to someone saying something to you, you know, you might be on the defense and just like, you know, untrustworthy, but that's something that's, you know, not who you really are. Who you really are is beautiful. Who you really are is a human being who just wants to experience happiness, experience earth, experience music, experience art. So just like that idea really pushes me forward. And especially during this time when there are a lot of people showing their true colors, and you're just, you just want to be like, what are you doing? This is not how we can be treating other people and treating yourself. So, as a teacher, I try and keep that in mind, like being the person who, you know, I was always meant to be, and helping the little ones become who they want to be, and who they, you know, being their person that inspires them. Like, you can always have someone who inspires you, but if you are that person for yourself, like, boom, you've got it. So, yeah, I think other people and people who want to spread the humanity and spread the love inspire me to push forward and to help the students and kids and the youth push forward too. So,
yeah. Okay. Tia's all loud.
Trying in my coffee.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit, Victoria, about, you know, children and how, I don't know, I remember being a child and I had, the only thing I cared about was just eating, coming home to play after school. And if I did get sad about something and I cried, like 5 minutes later, I was fine. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, there's just this genuine, pure energy about kids that we lose as we grow up and we become adults.
Ew.
Oh no! What's that?
What's an adult?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about maybe how children bring across what they bring to humanity, and how that in your everyday life, how that reminds you that your true self is there always.
I think you said it, like, they're so pure, and it's like before they get any of that kind of like the societal norms pushed on them or these like society rules or habits, which are not real. Society makes those up, you know, how that goes. But before they get any of that washed on them, you know, it's like you said, they come home, they want to eat food, they want to hang out with friends, they want to, you know, read a story with their parents, they want to roll around in the grass with their dog. And those things are kind of what, like, connect us as human beings. You know, we all have somewhere deep inside of us, maybe some of us have more, some of us have less, but we all have that, like, love for animals, right? So, like, you know, or we all have that, like, hunger to have something really delicious after a long day. Like, it's really interesting because I think about this a lot, thinking back to, like, being who I was always meant to be. Like, when I was younger, I was, like, the same way, just, like, always happy, always silly, you know, always, like, you know, singing a song, being like, woo, let's, you know, I don't know, just, it's hard to even remember, which is kind of sad, but just like always hugging people, always saying I love you, always doing this and this and this. And then, you know, when things happen to you, or when, you know, there's that one person or those couple of people who just make you lose your trust in people altogether, it's really hard to come back out of that, because for some reason, you know, human beings are sensitive, so we're gonna take that hard. So when you're an adult, there's also the beautiful thing about being an adult is you can go back to that feeling of just utter love for everybody, that feeling of just pure joy and having just a cup of your favorite chocolate milk, or for me, it's coffee now, but, you know, as an adult, we can find the way to get back to that. We can find the way to be like, you know what, I'm not going to get angry, or I'm not going to be skeptical of every new person I meet because I'm going to worry that they're, you know what I mean? Like, you can, there's something powerful in being old enough to realize what society has done to us as a whole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind
being
of
being childlike.
Yeah.
That's the word that comes to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's awesome having a group of people in your life that kind of help you to do that. So very thankful for the people on this podcast right now, because they definitely helped me to do that and are still helping me to do that. So
love you guys.
I was just thinking that the more I've grown to know all of you, I feel like there's a childlike piece that comes out in for different things. Like how excited Javi gets when we're playing Minecraft, or Victoria when she's like making a really good meal. I don't know. It's refreshing because it makes me feel like I'm little again. and I'm like playing with my friends. And there's like, there's a beauty in that. All right. I would like to jump to another question, unless somebody feels very inspired to add to what we've talked about so far.
I'm feeling inspired, if that's is that's okay, Queen. I just it's interesting that you mentioned that, Victoria, because recently in Costa Rica, and maybe in other countries, but I know of Costa Rica, was also disclaimer, when I speak I might do some Spanglish, so if you speak Spanish, you'll enjoy this part, but sometimes I don't remember words in English, so you'll get some Spanglish. But it's called Día del Niño, so like the day of the child. And so basically it's a day where, yeah, we celebrate the child, and it looks like in kindergarten or in school having like a party, and then some people give gifts to their kids and stuff like that. And so I follow this psychologist on Instagram, and she wrote in a post, like, what if we celebrate la adultez? So, like, what if we celebrate being adults? And like how you're saying, we always associate our childhood to joy. I mean, in general, right? Some of our childhoods might be, have been traumatic or not a lot of joy. But when we think about childhood, when we think about a child, we think of joy, of freedom, all those things that you said, right? And so I thought it was interesting because, yeah, I always think of an adult as like, okay, like she mentioned, like a responsibility, like non-joy. And when we are joyful is when we go back, right? When we go back to being child, like which can bring us joy. What I got from her is like, we have the beautiful thing about adultness, I don't know what's the word, is to enjoy the freedom that we have, and more so like the power or the what we have to grow in the way that we want, or get you know, do nice things for ourselves, or you know, the freedom we have over ourselves, over our lives. And so I mean, I'm still like trying to process that and like how to apply that in every day. But it was, I think it was something interesting of like how to find joy as an adult and enjoy that the time of life that is what it is, and not like being all the time like going back to, oh, I want to be, you know, like older people want to be younger, and children want to be adults. And all this stuff, and I know we all do this, but I thought it was an interesting insight on that. And talking about inspiration, if I can go in some story time, yeah, we should have like a button like story time, boom, boom, boom. Exactly. Oh,
like transition mode.
I just have plants. But yeah, I just have plants. When I moved here, part of my scholarship was to teach children in an after-school program. And I really had a hard time, like a really hard time. My mom is a kindergarten teacher. And so I would call her, even though I was working with elementary school kids, I would call her every day, like, Mom, actually, I was in the dorm, like the dorm you are right now, Melody, and I can remember calling her from there, like, Mom, I don't know what to do. Huh?
In the exact room that I'm
in. In the exact room. nah. Like, Mom, what should I do? Like, the kids don't like sit down, like I don't know what to do with them. They're being kids. But for me, I was like, I have to control them, and like I have them like to sit them down, and they have to listen to my theory lesson that I prepared, and you know, all this stuff that when we start teaching. And so I would cry basically every day when I came back from that internship, and I was just like, this is not, like, this is not nice for me or for the kids. Like, I was really, you know, education for me, or like teaching, I was just like, I don't want to deal with that. You know, my mom was a teacher, so I was like, yep, I'm not doing that. And this experience means, like, it's showing me that, yeah, I shouldn't go into that. Until, I went to Thailand, and we'll probably talk about this in another episode, but I went to Thailand to get a certificate in education and human values at the Satya Sai School in Thailand. And when, I don't know if I share this story with you, but the first day that I got there, of course, I brought a violin. And so we were going into the school, and then all these kids just started like running towards me, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know you. And here in Chicago and United States, I noticed that it was very like you don't touch kids, or you don't like give a hug or something. And so I was like in that mindset, I'm like, oh my God, these kids are coming towards me, like what do I do? Exactly. And so they kept like pointing to the violin, and I was like, okay, I guess they want to play the violin. So, and I was nervous because, you know, a violin and then like all these kids on it. I'm like, oh my God. But I found like a ledge, like a, una escalera, what is that called? Stairs, yeah. And I put the violin, opened it, and I hadn't even opened it all the way. They're already like grabbing the bow and like grabbing the violin. And maybe I can share a picture with y'all later, but then this kid like grabbed the violin and the other one grabbed the bow and was basically like playing, you know, like playing for that kid. Like, it was really, it was so awesome. I was half scared that they were gonna do something with the violin, half really surprised that I hadn't even like met these kids. Like, I haven't even, they don't know who I was, I don't know who they were, and they're already like, oh my God, let me play this violin. And it was not even that experience, that moment, but also, you know, I was there teaching orchestra and things like that, and they just, they were so eager to learn and so happy to learn and to be there. And so that's when I was like, okay, there is a way for teachers and for students to be happy about their learning and yeah, their, yeah, and their growth. And I always thought that it had to be like painful and not fun. So yeah, that's when I realized this is, I'm gonna make this, you know, a core part of my life, my personal life, but also my teaching life and how I view education. And yes, I hope y'all can go to the school at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I want to be five again. No, I'm kidding. I want to be five right now, but in my normal body at this age. I want to have like a five-year-old spirit is what I want to see.
Spirit, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of spirit, I spoke to a mentor of mine, and I was telling her I was having a hard time with visualizing my future goals in life. Mm-hmm. And anyway, in the end, she prayed for me and she said, I hope that you have freedom of spirit. Hmm. Anyway, and you said that, you, Andrea, you spoke about how everybody was happy to be there and eager to learn. And I think of how our spirits want to be free and to just be. And there are so many obstacles in systems and education and culturally that are preventing our spirits from soaring. It's like we're in a jaw. And if our spirits can soar, there'll be so much beauty, so much joy and creativity and fun in life. And obviously there'll be other things like tears and anger, and but right, because there is so much joy, it will just balance itself out, kind of. And that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story.
Anytime.
I want to pose this question to anybody who wants to jump in. Because I think Andrea's stories are really good wrote into this, why human values work is critical right now. Just briefly, I can share a little bit. For me, I think just everything that I'm learning, I'm from St. Lucia, and we have, culturally, there are a lot of things that when I came here, I had to adjust my way of thinking to fit in to everything that I was experiencing, to not fail, to not lose my scholarship, to get good grades. And I wasn't prioritizing my well-being and myself. I was prioritizing this thing that I was serving, which was larger than me, that I could not understand. And I think everything that's going on right now in regards to racial issues and what's happening in the news and politically, I think just because I'm learning about it, I'm finding language for my experiences. And I think I need a language for the things that I value. I need and I think human values gives me that language. So when somebody talks at me with hatred, for example, I can speak to them with love. Like I have something to say that will turn that anger into compassion instead of responding with anger. And so I think for me, this work is important because there's so much that we're working against, that we need something that can, something that supports and holds us together, and something that we can use as a gift, not a weapon, but a gift, to go out into the world. That's crazy. The world is crazy, guys. It's falling apart. And so I think of human values as the gift that we can give to the world. And we need to give that gift. It's kind of in our closet right now, hiding, all wrapped up. And we need to grab it and go out there and share it with other people. So for me, that's why I think that's where I stand. Thoughts on that?
I mean, gosh, you said it so well. I mean, everything you've all been saying is there's nothing else to add. But just to kind of echo what you said, Melody, is I just feel like our lives depend on it right now, you know, literally. And I, you know, every now and again, I read some weirdo Zen people from the 60s and 70s. I was reading a book by Alan Watts the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, nobody actually gets liberated alone. Because we're all interconnected. So nobody's truly going to be enlightened unless we all are. And I was just thinking about how, you know, just thinking about how you have to see the humanity in the oppressor, and how the oppressor needs to reclaim their own humanity in order to see their own, and how we're all just locked in this horrible pattern together. And some people are, you know, on top or benefiting. But if you look at just the state of our country now, because of this division, everyone in our country is suffering. We're all living under lockdown. We're all getting sick and dying because we're not coming together. And so I just feel like this work as a means of just helping everyone liberate themselves as individuals, and then hopefully plant a seed to be able to see everybody as being beautiful and valuable and connected, is our lives depend on it. Our lives just do.
Yeah.
Go vote.
No vote.
Absolutely. I'll jump onto that and just say, you know, first of all, what a great conversation. And you're all inspiring me too, because yeah, it's just so easy to get angry. And maybe I spend way too much time on Twitter or I don't know, but it's just everything is made to divide. And just this new awareness of there is no separation. We are all the same. Everybody wants the same thing. We all want things to get better. And I just think that there's just something so special about human values education that makes us look inward, because it's so easy, right, to look outward and to blame other people. But it really starts with looking inward and seeing the goodness in you, and then seeing maybe the things that you've been doing that, you know, you've been subconsciously turning your back on your own humanity. And then, so how can you, you know, reconnect with that part of you, that deep part of you, that humanity, spirit, whatever you want to call it, that we all have and we all have access to, and turn away from the lie, the obscurity of that there's not enough, of that, you know, of the dehumanizing language that people use to put each other down, and see each other as our brother and sister and gender nonconforming siblings keeper. And I think that that's the thing about human values. It forces us to say everyone has good in them. Mm. It forces us to say that you have the power to be a great example to the people that are around you. And and again, if the oppression is systematic, then our expression of these human values must also be systematic. So, you know, we have, and we can get into this more, but we have our five core universal human values. They're called universal human values because every culture, religion, creed, country, community has their own version of them. But we call them love, truth, peace, nonviolence, and right action. And so whenever we're practicing human values, it's this awareness that we all have those in us already, right? But they may be dormant, like Victoria was saying, because of all the layers of just garbage that the world pours onto you. And it's about not just thinking about, talking about, or doing the human values, but it is about being the human values. And through these human values and the teaching techniques that we'll go into in the future, it's just like inspiring the values to come out of you. And I think that's what's really critical and different about human values. It's not, let me teach you some human values. No, it's not. It's not. It's the human values.
Listen here,
I'm going to teach you some human values. No, the human values are already in you. And and we're just going to dedicate ourselves to systematically, maybe that's a bad, not a great word, but consistently doing activities, intentionally, thank you, doing activities, you know, like the Minecraft Twitch streams, like the podcast, like the practice guides, doing all these things that are going to inspire the values to come out and be expressed by the people. So if you're listening to this great conversation with these amazing people and you feel the chills and you're feeling inspired, just know that the human values that are in you are being activated and resonated, and and join the club because we all need to be in this together.
Yes. I just thought of that episode for Avatar fans out there. Yeah. I'm thinking of that episode where it's, I think it's in the last book, where they're in this little village near a river, and I'm forgetting names. What's her name?
Katara
pretends to be the spirit lady, and the river's polluted and whatever. And in the end, when she like reveals herself and she saves them from the bad guys, and she tells them that they have to, you know, they're like, now what? Well, you saved us, and we've realized that you're just a normal person. And she tells them, or somebody says something about, well, now you can just clean the river. That's what you do next. Anyway, so I'm thinking of the idea that the river is life, and we're all sharing this river. We're all in this life together at this period of time, old, young, middle-aged. And right now our river is polluted with all this garbage. And the river has all the minerals and good things that we need for life, for the trees to grow, for the fish to thrive. And those minerals and good things are the values that are within us. And we need to clean up the river. We need to get rid of all this trash, man, so that we can see that life thriving. So yeah, go watch that episode. All the entire series.
It's, I believe, Netflix. It's called The Painted Lady, if you're looking for it.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Beautifully said, Melody.
Yes, that should be like a clip where...
Oh, yeah.
For the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. There you go, Sola.
Or you can stop playing the Avatar theme right there.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
That's the end. That'll be at the end of the episode. Right, yeah.
Amazing.
That was kind of my last question for us. I think I skipped the first one, which was, why are you here? And what brought you to this group? I should have started with that, but I skipped that on my notes when I looked over. So if you want to talk about that, then great. And if not, we can maybe move into the next segment for our episode.
I think we all can actually hit on that in our own way. Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm.
I just will jump in and just reiterate something that's been said is that we need community. And I hope I get her name right, but Bernice King, Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter, following her on Twitter recently, and she's just amazing, being a proponent of nonviolent resistance. And she talks about a beloved community, which was something that Dr. King talked about, of just like striving to have this community of people that really take care of each other and fulfill that dream that he did have. And, you know, we can all do this inner work and then, you know, like Sola said, and we can kind of like get to a point of liberation on our own. But if we're not extending that to the others around us through our example or through building community and giving people a place to share their voice, you know, then that's a very selfish way to handle liberation. It belongs to everyone. And so part of the reason that I think all of us has worked so hard to build this community is because, well, frankly, we need each other. And like I was having a hard summer and was inspired by Sola and, you know, how Melody came to know American academia and, you know, the college and didn't find the community you wanted, but we were able to find community here. And then now the next step with this podcast is really to extend this community to all of our listeners and to really feel like you belong somewhere. And I just want to invite you, if you're feeling lonely, if this work is daunting, as inner work is, this work is painful, it's taken one step forward and five steps back and trying to keep going again, it's always better when done together. So I really encourage you to be part of our community. And I'm just so thankful for the four of you being part of this today and excited to see where we go with this podcast and with the Human Values Club in general.
Yes. If I can jump from there. I need to learn these phrases. But yes, I was telling Javier today that, you know, this is really out of my comfort zone. And I, knowing myself, I need to put myself outside of my comfort zone, because if not, I just, stay there. And it feels, I heard this from someone that I follow, I can't remember her name, but the pain of like staying, of like not growing, it's more painful than what the pain that you have to go through while you're growing, you know, knowing that you have this potential or knowing that, you know, like Javier said, like those chills or like you resonate with something and then either out of fear or out of anything else, you are like, ooh, I know that interests me, but I'm scared or it feels like too much. Keeping that inside is more painful than actually, you know, doing it and going through the process. So as I was telling Javier, this is, I was nervous and I know speaking, public speaking and just speaking these kind of places is difficult for me. But as you said, Javier, I've been doing this work and I know part of it is to share with other people. And like, going back to that question of why is it critical, when I get like hopeless and just see everything that is happening, and then I'm like, oh my God, what can I do? You know, besides like the things in this moment, like supporting organizations or like calling representatives, things like that, doing my part in that way, I'm like, okay, what long-term thing can I do, you know, about this? And I always, again, go back to the children and go back to starting since the beginning, since they really since they're in the womb, but I can't do much about that right now. But starting with school and kindergarten and everything, and telling children, or let me say, showing children that they have this inner goodness and that they have this power inside that they can use, and to always listen to that inner teacher. And so I always come back to children. That's why I think it's critical. And even though there's things that we can do now with us grown-ups and the people older than us, for me, that's the long-term impact, and we'll see. I'm happy to be wrong, but I trust in children, and I trust the young voices, and so it's kind of like you're not in control. You just show children, like, okay, this is what you got, and then, like, take your hands off, and then it just happens, and it can be scary because children will find their way of doing things and their way of doing their part. So yes, it's like leaving, like letting control go. But yeah.
I feel like the whole subject of children could be its own podcast.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Many spiritual, they're just such little nuggets of spiritual inspiration. And I've just been thinking so much about how, like, my family's Nigerian, and they have this idea that, like, you know, both the very, very old and the very, very young are the most enlightened. And it's the idea that the young, because they just came out of the spirit world, like, they're still very connected. They're still very one with everything. Like, their experience is, everything's right here. But you go through life as an adult and you, like, get all this shit stacked on top of you, right? Mm-hmm. But then you're very, very wise when you're old because you've learned the value of that, like, raw, amazing spirit that you have when you were a kid. And you learn to shed the stuff and then become very wise again. And like, I could just talk, like, kids, yes, I could just talk about them for
Valley's kindergarten.
Right. <Good.
laughs> Yeah, I foresee us having amazing topics to share in future episodes of the podcast.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Whitney said it. We believe the children are our future.
Teach them well and
that's sweet. I 2 days ago, it was 7:50 in the morning, and I was decided, I'm going to ride my scooter to the practice rooms, but it was rainy and there was, like, some slips and slides, and I'm going on my scooter, and then I just fall, and my scooter flies away, and I'm getting up and my knee hurts and everything. And this one girl, she helped pick up my scooter, and she asked me if I was okay. And I remember in that moment, I felt so much shame from falling, and I couldn't even look at her to say, like, thank you. Or I was just like, I just was like, I'm scurrying away kind of. And then I was talking to my boyfriend Teal about it and telling him, I fell, and I had this moment where I was just trying to figure out why I was so ashamed of falling. Like, why did I feel this way? And then he did this exercise with me. He told me to close my eyes and imagine this cool girl on a scooter riding through campus, and she falls and she gets up, and she's just full of life and spirit, and she's okay with falling. And then, do you want to be friends with that girl? And I was like, yes, I want to be friends with that cool girl on the scooter. Anyway, so it just kind of reminds me that children are like that. They fall and then they cry, and then they have all these scabs on their legs, and then they're still running around and ready to go 5 minutes later. It depends how bad the fall is, maybe a day later. But it's kind of, it brings me back to the idea of being childlike. And I think part of the reason I'm here to answer the question is because I want to be okay with falling. I want to fall, just let myself fall, and know that there will be people around me, a good support group, a good community to pick up my scooter and ask me if I'm okay. But I don't have to be ashamed of being human, being a child, or falling, that I can fall. Yes. And
That's what no I think. Shame, no shame,
no blame. No shame, no
blame.
I think we have the next guest for our podcast. We gotta ask the teal. You want to join us sometime? So thank you so much, everyone, for this conversation, for sharing this time, and building the community and making more friends through this online world. As Javier said, part of the Human Values work is that we create practice guides, which are just what it means, a way to practice these human values in our daily life. We do lesson plans, which is more like for the classroom, and then practice guides is more for like ourselves. And we call it guide because, of course, it will look different for all of us, but it's just a it's just like a direction to go and give you some feedback. To give you some guidance to go ahead. So today we have a practice guide that Victoria is going to share with us. So you are free to go back and repeat this part in the podcast if you need to hear again. Also, if you would like to receive our newsletter, you can send us an email to, again, our humanvaluesclub@gmail.com. You can get one of these practice guides every week. So why don't you share with us the practice guide for this week, Victoria?
Yay! Thank you, Andrea. So our practice guide, like Andrea said, we send a different one out every week. And each practice guide is related to a universal human value. So truth, love, peace, nonviolence, or right action. And then within that, we have the sub-value that we like to focus on. And that is the the word that we're going to use to kind of inspire the rest of the practice guide. So our universal human value for this week was right action. And speaking of humanity, that's our sub value. Hey, there it is. So our sub value is humanity. And shout out to Javier and Magali and Elena. We all work together to make this awesome practice guide for this week. So there's a section called the thought of the week on the practice guide. And the thought of the week is humanity first. Easy to repeat in your head over and over when you're feeling like, man, I just want to get angry at this person. Humanity first, right? Mm-hmm. And then the objective is to let our common humanity erode the illusion of separation. So erode that societal illusion of separation, right? We look inside and reconnect with our own humanity and see the humanity in all other people and beings in the world. Beautiful. Hmm. I think Javier wrote that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Collaboration between myself and Elena. Shout out to Elena.
Yes. Awesome. That says it right there. We look inside and reconnect with everyone, with our own humanity and with everyone else's. We have a couple different sections as well. We have our silent sitting or meditation or breathing. And then we also have a song that we pick, a story that we pick. The song this week, I just have to say, it's In the End by the Cranberries. So yes, Cranberries. And then I'd like to share the activity and the action step as well, because I think those are super important for this week. So the activity is when you find yourself losing connection with others, think about all of the ways that every human being is similar. Humans feel love, are passionate, seek happiness. We are all connected and more similar than we realize. Reach out to a friend or loved one to discuss humanity. And you guys, we're doing that today. Look at that. and then I think that's going to be my word. that's when you know it's me, when I'm clapping for someone. You'll just hear the A coming out of the background. And then our action step is something that we all can do that will help others in some sort of way. The activity is for you to do maybe with yourself, with a loved one, with your students, but the action step is going out into the world and helping someone out there. So this action step for this week is support businesses, restaurants, and shops that are family owned or run by people of color, as long as you do it in the safest way for you. Try a new food from a different part of the world, purchase a book from somewhere other than a chain store, or support a local small business in your area that was started by a family. So every one of us could do that, whether it's buy a book, you know, go out to a restaurant that is unfamiliar to you, you know, find a way to support other people, and then get some good food out of it, or learn something new or a new experience, make a new friend. But yeah, that is the practice guide for this week. So all of them are going to be set up very similarly to that, with just a different universal value and sub value.
Awesome. Now go and practice. Sorry, Miller. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to our first episode. I think it went great, and congratulations to all of you. If you enjoyed this show, this episode, please share it with your friends, share with your family, with a person at your school, whoever, and just be like, hey, just listen to this. It's just a couple minutes, almost an hour. And share with your friends. You can rate us wherever you listen to your podcast, or leave us a comment. And yeah, keep in touch. We will, you know, grow this community by having your questions or inviting people to talk here. Of course, as you saw, we have some insight, but we don't know it all. So we also want to welcome people to share their own wisdom, and we can learn from them. So we want to be open to that, and hopefully we'll get some questions from you at some point. Just show you how you're feeling, what you're thinking. So I had a great time, and love yourself, love the world. That's our motto. Love yourself, love the world, and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.